Let's give that to Jesus again right now. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you today. That's it. Let's feel after him, if happily we might find him. Though he's not far from any one of us, we bless your name today, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord, everyone. What a wonderful presence of Jesus is in this house. And it's so great to be with you. And I am, if you sense any being subdued, it's not because I'm tired with the daylight savings time. Because I get up before then. But I'm just in awe of his presence. I anticipate what he wants to do in this room today. I believe we're preparing our hearts for what he wants. Are you doing that right now? Why don't we forget who's around us, what we're planning on doing later? Don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day we may bring forth. All we have is this moment, and let's reach for it right now. Father, I love you. I worship you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. I trust you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. We're in a moment. We're going to look in Psalm 103. And I will read a focus verse in just a moment, but encourage you to stay there as we explore a few other passages from there. But I thank Pastor Williford for his understanding and his release of my wife. I wish she could be here, but we're very grateful she can be with her father right now. And I appreciate your pastor and Sister Williford all of these years. Maybe I may get to say more tonight, but has been a dear friend and support to me and a contributor, and he's saying what they're reaping from as APC, but he's reaping personally because of what he's put into me. Well, at least I hope so. All the good stuff came from him. The other stuff is after I left St. Louis. Of course, I love my brother, so these are the special times, the good times where we can be together. And I've said it so many times, but I appreciate all that he does to care for my mother and father who are not able to be here today. And by the Lord's help, we're going to pick up on a theme. It was wonderful to be with everyone this weekend at the retreat. It's not a weekend retreat. It's been what God's been doing with me for the last little bit here. So I felt released to share that with you tonight, Lord willing. It's going to be a little different if the Lord still allows me to do this. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm going to say it now that I'm planning on talking about hearing the voice of God. So if you want to know how to hear the voice of God, that's what I felt to share with you this evening. But today, the Lord has a specific purpose for us, and I looked to the Psalm 103, and I'm going to read just one verse here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at some more in this chapter, this psalm. Praise God. You love the Lord, say amen. You love who you're sitting next to, say amen. They were listening. Hope you gave the right answer. Praise God. Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And by the help of the Lord, I want to just borrow those four words and speak to you about he knows our frame. He knows our frame. Let's pray. Father, without you, I can do nothing. but with you all things are possible. I pray that you'd anoint my mind, that you'd anoint the ears of your hearers, that you would melt our hearts together for the Spirit to accomplish what it has purposed to do. Lord, our job is to align ourselves with your kingdom. Our job is to submit ourselves, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would do a work that only you can do, that you would transform us into your image so that when we leave here, we have a little more understanding and knowledge and experience of where you're taking us in this journey. I love you, Lord. I trust you and I thank you. With you, all things are possible, and I bless your name and I praise you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. Could we worship a God who knows who we are right now? However you want to do that. There's all kinds of ways in the Bible you can do that. But let's talk to Jesus. Let's exalt Jesus. You can lift your hand. You can lift your voice. You can clap. You can sing. You can shout. He's an almighty God. There's none like Jesus. I bless your name and I praise you today, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When you look at Psalm 103, I think we often, appropriately so, look at how it declares the mercy of God. Anybody thankful for his mercy? You better be, because if we didn't have it, we wouldn't be here. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Verse 2 says, don't forget all his benefits. And then verse 3 says, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Hallelujah. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you, the Bible says, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. He's a merciful God. When you look at verse 7, it shares how that the character of the Lord is merciful. The Bible says that he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds or his acts to the people of Israel. And here's a little bit about his character. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I'm telling you the best thing I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you the word of the Lord. I may give you a cute illustration later, but there's nothing that'll change your life like this word right here. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word will never pass away. You can hold on to the fact that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Hallelujah. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Praise God. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Anybody thankful for that? He didn't punish us as our sins deserved. No. He didn't punish us according to our iniquities. He did not deal with us harshly as we deserve. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the mercy of God. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, so great is his mercy towards those that fear him. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. There is a north pole, there is a south pole, but there is no ending or boundaries for east and west. I get it. There is no boundaries to the mercies of God. They are new and fresh every morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what Psalm 103 teaches us. But I have a question for you. Why is he merciful? Why is he merciful? I'm sure there's a lot of answers to that, but in the context of this scripture, I read in verse 14, I believe he's merciful because he understands our human weaknesses. It says, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. That word says he knows our frame. One translation says he knows what we are made of. I know sometimes we say that in a braggadocious way or a complimentary way. I know what they're made of, and I receive that. But in this point, he says, I know what you are made of because I'm your creator, and you are formed from the dust of the ground. You're dirt. Hello. It's surely referencing Genesis 2:7 that the Lord God formed or fashioned us from the dust of the ground. I think there can also be a reference possibly to the image of the prophet who begins to talk about the potter's vessel, because he said he remembers or realizes that we are made out of clay. And he said, I'm merciful to you because I remember, I realize, I understand your frame. I understand how you were made, that you are clay. And he said, therefore, in your weakness, I will remain merciful to you. Because if you go to the verse prior, verse 13, the Lord's response to our weakness is, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities or has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. The New Living Translation says, he knows how weak we are. I wanted to just mention to you today that I believe that he knows that weakness not to capitalize on it, or not to leverage himself against us. No. He knows how weak we are, not even just to console us, like, oh, you little weak, pitiful thing. Hear me today. I believe he knows how weak we are so that he can empower us. Hope you're getting that, because that's where I'm going right now. Is that when he says, I know how weak you are, I believe he's gracious and he's a comforter. But he said, I understand how weak you are, and I want to use that weakness to empower you to be what you cannot be on your own. Psalm 103 verse 1 that we read from, but if you read in the New Living Translation, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am, that's what I am, and that's what I am not, let it praise the Lord. I bring the sacrifice of praise, not because of anything that I can contribute, but whatever I am and whatever I am not. In my frailty, my humanity, my weakness, I give it all to the Lord, and I bless his name. Hallelujah. I want everybody here would just bless his name right now in the place that you're in. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go over that again in verse 8 in the New Living Translation. I want to make sure that you understand this. The Lord is like a father to his children. He's tender and he's compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we're only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers which bloom and die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we had never been here. So here we are. Here's the things that remain. Here's the things that extend. The love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of all those who are faithful to the covenant, to those who obey his commandments. For he knows how weak we are. God understands our human frailty. He understands how it works. He's our creator. But here's my question for you. What if we really saw our own human weakness as God does? He understands, but do you understand? Do I understand? How does the Lord view our human weakness? And if I could just share with you Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, to support that rhetorical question I just asked you. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, for in him, who's the him there? That's right, you're hearing the right answer. Boldly declare it. For in him, Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is a magnificent description of the incarnation. This verse is emphasizing both the true deity and the true humanity of Jesus Christ. It says in him dwells. I want you to notice the present tense here. The fullness of God continues to dwell in Jesus Christ. There is a union between deity and humanity that's in Christ, that it's permanent. It didn't start somewhere and end somewhere. I want you to know that the fullness of Godhead dwells in him. That word Godhead means the state of being God. It is the sum total of God's nature. It said in Christ is the sum total of who he is. And it's the fullness of God. Now, we don't have time to look at the original audience in which Paul was writing, but these Gnostics believed that there was an emanation that came from God. They didn't believe that there was just one God that was union and union in the mighty God in Christ. They said there was things that would emanate out of God. But Paul is trying to tell them, in Jesus Christ dwells the supreme God. He dwells in him bodily, in him becoming human. He said the fullness of Christ dwells in him bodily. All that God is in Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not Jesus only, we're Jesus everything. In him dwells everything. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in his name. Now, that didn't hurt you to receive that little theology there. But to the point I'm preaching here, why do we stop with verse 10? Because the next verse says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And friends, I want you to understand that the deity of Jesus Christ is not just some theological concept that's abstract, or it's something that we just shout about because we know who Jesus is. There is an implication of the mighty God in Christ in your daily life that you live each day. Hear me. Since the fullness of God is in flesh, Paul said in verse 10, we are complete, are filled, are completed in him. Did you know it's the same Greek word of complete in Colossians 2:9 as complete in Colossians 2:10? Are you hearing me? That since Jesus is the fullness of God, we are complete in him. I get it. We're not God, but his fullness is the root of our completion. You are complete in Jesus Christ. Everything that you need is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If the fullness of God dwells in Jesus and I'm complete in him, then I'm telling you right now, all of my weaknesses, all of my frailties are covered when I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? So now here's the thing that I want us to understand. We often have a challenge with that. That sounded good, didn't it? But we have a challenge sometimes because we don't feel so complete in him on a Monday morning. We don't feel so complete in him when we just failed ourselves or failed our God, or we have all of these weaknesses and frailty. But hear me today. I want you to understand, we have a challenge with that. And Satan is good at what he does. And he has a tactic or a strategy to answer our challenge of accepting his fullness. Are you with me? You know what he'll do? He'll pervert our weakness. I use that word pervert on purpose. That he will show us all the cracks and frailties and shortcomings, and he'll pervert our weakness because he wants you to look at your frame. He wants you to look at the dust from which you came in a human lens instead of a God lens. Let me illustrate that. You know what humanity says? Don't be vulnerable. Don't show your weak side. No. That's the way we think, right? We don't even want a picture taken on our bad side. Whatever that is. No comment. Which is a comment. You know what I mean? We coach people. Don't let them know your weakness because they will exploit it. Anybody home right now? But what does God say about our weakness? Does he say hide it? Does he say don't talk about it? Put it. No. I want you to know that God doesn't view weakness as humanity does. We say we've messed up and we can never ever pay. And God doesn't see it that way. Oh, hear me today. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. And my power works best in your weakness. While you're trying to hide and cover up your frame, God said, I wish you'd own it so that my power can work in you. He said, so now, boy, he said some strange language for us. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness. Anybody walk into the sanctuary today saying, woo, I want you to know how weak I have been this week. Come on, we don't talk that language. But Paul said, I want you to know I'm boasting in my weakness. You know why? I don't like all of that. It doesn't look pretty to me, but the power of Christ can work through me. I get it. I take pleasure in my weakness and the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. But Satan wants you to say, you're not good enough. You can't make it. You don't have what it takes. Why don't you agree with him for once and say, I know I don't, but that's how God's power is going to work best through me. Hallelujah. And our flesh can get bossy. Our flesh can want to be pampered and taken care of. I think that's why biblically it's good to afflict our flesh through fasting of food, taking a break on media. There's three. Anybody else want to venture to say amen? Oh, you'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't remember what I talked about last December I was here. But in September, we went on a 21-day media fast. They were saying, Pastor, send us on a 21-day food fast, but don't do that media thing. But why do we want to put the flesh back in subjection? And by the way, some of you are saying, whoa, we dodged that bullet. Pastor didn't call it. Imagine if you put yourself on your own spiritual discipline every once in a while. I didn't say that, but yeah, I did. So hear me today. I believe in that. But if you're facing the challenge of cancer, your weakness is provided for you. Fasting is not what you need if you're on cancer. If there's things that's going on in our life, hardships, I'm just saying there's built-in things in life that reminds us how weak we are. But there's times then that we have to minimize this flesh and weaken this flesh. If we don't, these times of weakness can be a temptation to assert ourselves and when we're vulnerable and we don't. Let me tell you what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And you, the devil wants you to look at that jar of clay, but you've got to get your eyes off of that and say, the reason that I have all these frailties is that this all-surpassing power would be from God and not from us. I'm just trying to tell you that if we would embrace weakness as saying, God, this is an opportunity for you to work through me, then all the things that you have pulled away from, you can step into because you understand he knows my frame. Amen. How about Psalm 34, verse 18? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those that are crushed in their spirit. And I'm just looking at that passage. We all get focused on the broken heart and the contrite heart and the crushed spirit. But you know what I'm looking at? The first four words. The Lord is what? The Lord is what? Are you hearing me today? I would not be insensitive intentionally to anything you're going through in your life. But I'm telling you right now, this scripture is more than just to go to the hospital room or to go to the funeral parlor and say, I'm so sorry, you're crushed. I want you to know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I can tell you this, the Lord is near in your weakness. You'll never be closer to God than when you go through the times of weakness and pain and suffering, because God said, when I find you weak, I work best in my power through you. I come against the lies of Satan. You say, well, Pastor, it wasn't what God did to me. I messed up myself. I rebelled. I failed. Well, God still loves you, and he still wants to use your mistakes for an avenue to show his power. Somebody help me praise him. Somebody ask God to help us receive this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. David got it in Psalm 51:17. He said, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you will not despise. Since the beginning of this year, I've had more questions than I've had answers. But I've been pondering what would happen if I really saw human weaknesses as he did. If I really understood weakness is my greatest asset. It's not an obstacle to overcome. I get it. Weakness in the context that I want to be more like him. I want to mature in the word of God. I don't want to keep facing the same things. I want to learn my lessons. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, your best shot at this isn't good enough. I thought about it. When you think about a glove's amazing because it can do all kinds of things. Glove can pick up a phone. Glove can wave goodbye. Glove can scratch its head. Pat somebody on the back. Glove can do a lot of things. But if I take my hand out of that glove, all it does is lie there. I can yell at it. I can get mad at it. I can try to teach it lessons. But it's not going to do any good. Because this glove can do nothing on its own. Without it, without my hand inside, this glove is nothing more than just an ordinary piece of cloth, leather, whatever it's made of. People are like this glove. On our own, we can do nothing of consequence. In our flesh, we're weak. I wonder sometimes if we're so weary in this Christian journey because we keep trying to spruce up and prop up and fix this thing. It's got to get better. But the Bible says, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And we have to understand that on my own I can't. But when his hand is inside the glove, this glove can do anything it's been designed and called to do. But we sit here today and we want to work the glove without the hand of God. But I'm here to tell you that there is something revolutionary that's going to take place in your way of thinking. It's going to transform your relationship with God. What's going to happen in this church as an assembly? What power is going to manifest itself when we quit worrying about the glove? When we quit worrying about all of that? I'm telling you, God wants to use the glove. He's designed to use the glove. He just said, I know your frame. I already know how weak you are. I created you. But if you'll start looking at that glove the way I've always looked at humanity, that you've messed up, you've been weak, you've been frail, but let me tell you, somebody needs to come to the point that says, Lord, it's not my power, it's not my joy, it's not my peace. Oh, it's yours that you have given me. Hallelujah. I'm just like a power tool. I can't work unless I'm plugged in to the source and the Son of God. It's just an animate object without Him. But God said, if you could see me, hallelujah, see yourself how I see you. I know your frame. So I ask you, how long are we going to keep chatting about what we're not and start saying that's an opportunity for Him to put His hand in the glove, to put it in there, this fragile clay jar, this humanity. I rely on Him today. Anybody got a glove with you here today? Is there a glove on your person? Anybody got a glove you could pull out and wave at me? You got one? What kind's that? Keep pulling them out. My Lord, y'all think I'm taking an offering. I'm not going to steal your glove. Okay? Look at here. I got a cool one, a little fuzzy on the end. Okay? Anybody else got a glove? Oh, look at this one. Sister Stovall, that's a pretty one. What we got there? Got a red one. Got some kick, some personality to it, right? Anybody else got a glove? Oh, this is the glove section over here. What we got? Got a gray one? Favorite color? Oh, you're cheating. You're sharing the same set, right? Here's another one that's got a lot of warm stuff inside. You think I've lost my mind? All these gloves are different. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. Some gloves got strengths that the others don't. But ain't none of them good unless the hand goes in it. And we waste so much time trying to match people's glove and apologize and try to be like somebody else. I just wonder what would happen if we could just free God. You thought I was going to say free yourself. I'm saying free God to say, I know we're all different. We come in different shapes, sizes. We got all our different hurts and issues. But there's one hand. There's one Lord. There's one Spirit. And if you could just hear the cry of the Spirit, quit fighting against those weaknesses. I know your frame. I remember your dust, but I still loved you. I was still merciful towards you. I still had a purpose in your life. You say, but oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I strayed from that purpose. I made him say, he knows that too. But God knows how to correct the things if you just keep that destination plugged into him. What if we could start praying all across this room? Say, Father, I've done what I know to do in this house. This is a very mature congregation. I didn't come here thinking I could teach them something. But I did believe that there could be revelation imparted here today. That we would just begin to see all of that humanity in our frame and our dust, our clay, our jars of clay, and we can say, Lord, I give it to you today. I give it to you knowing that you have a plan and you have a purpose. And I'm going to continue, Lord Jesus, to walk in that purpose. Because you don't compensate for my weakness. You empower my weakness through your hand in my glove. Lord, you don't make what I have better. You replace it. When I became a new creation, you didn't improve me. You gave me a whole new renovation. And Lord, I've got to walk in that power. I've got to walk in that grace. I've got to understand, hallelujah, if there's somebody here today that's weak in sin, that's lost in sin. If you're here today and you have sin in your life, Jesus died for that sin. He's just asking us right now to admit it, to acknowledge it. Say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I've tried it my own way and it didn't work. I tried my own ideas, but Lord, I am to the place. I have come to the end of me. And when I am at the end of me, that's where you start. That's where you step in. That's where your hand goes into my glove. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's take it a step further. If you're physically able, could you stand while you're praying? Could you stand all across this house and say, Lord, I give it to you today. I give you that weakness. I give you that frailty. I give you my all right now. Come on, church. Come on, we've got to get this. This can't be just another message. But God, something has got to change my thinking. I got to get real with you. I got to get real with my brothers and sisters. I've got to understand that when I'm vulnerable with them, your power works through me to them. But I can't help my brother or sister if I'm hiding my weakness, if I'm not willing to talk about it, if I'm not willing to say I've made some mistakes. Some of them have just been the pain of life, but his grace is sufficient. You can make it through it. God, help us not to get bitter, but help us, Lord, to say my weakness is an opportunity for you to show your power in us. Are you praying? Now that we've prayed sitting, we've prayed standing, is there anybody who feels compelled to come to the front and pray and say, God, I got to get this. I've got to marinate this in my spirit. I present to you not my best side. I present to you not all my act together. I present to you who I am and who I'm not. That's it. If you're a guest with us, we invite you to come and pray. He is the potter, and we are the clay, and you can trust yourself in the hands of the potter. That's it. Come pray.